Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, thankful, grateful, and as always, truly, truly, truly blessed to be with you this morning. I am grateful that God woke me up when he did, because I was sleeping pretty good, and thanking God for my alarm clock. Hallelujah. So I'm sure there are some that are saying, well, I called and there was no answer. It said there was no show scheduled. So text a friend, call a friend. I am sorry. I did not put the show out on the web until a little bit late, like 10 minutes ago. So I apologize to those that have tried to call in and did not catch it. But we are here. We're going to always be here as long as God wills it. So thankful that God did get us in before Sabbath. Guest host, as always, Mother Valerie, good morning. How are you, my dear lady?
Good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm good. I'm good. God
I hope
is
you
good.
Are having a good morning. It's a little gloomy today, but I know it's going to be a great day.
Oh, it's raining outside, but it's still beautiful. I'm going to send you a picture
Absolutely.
Later on out of my window, what I see.
Oh, wow, awesome. I am
okay. A
big fan of weather pictures because you think about it when you look up and you see, even though it may be a cloudy day, it might be a rainy day, it's still the day that the Lord has made, and we all should be rejoicing that God gave us another day above ground because he didn't have to, but he did. And the word that God gave me this morning is the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Woo! The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. And it's just like the perfect, it's our psalm this morning, but it's a perfect word for all this stuff that David had to go through. He went through some stuff. First he had to deal with Saul, then he had to deal with Abishai, you know, and had to deal with even his own people because they couldn't see the bigger picture that David was trying to get, you know. So it's just a lot of court, if you want to call it, court intrigue in our word today. We know that the strength of David is God. Our strength is God. The rock that we lean upon is God. The rock of my strength and my refuge is God. When we are running from the storm, we run to God. I was watching the Jennifer Hudson show on yesterday, Mother, something that I don't get to see very often, but I was watching it. I tape it, so I see it on tape. And so I don't know if they say that anymore, but I see it on my television device so I can see it later. So I DVR it. Anyway, she had a lady on and a young man who basically, she felt saved her family's life. He was a weather chaser, and he went down to Mississippi, and he was, you know, it was during the time of storm, during the time of tornadoes, and he was following a storm, and in that storm, two tornadoes broke off going in opposite directions. And this town in Mississippi, but got it. This young woman was on her way home when it hit. It picked up her truck and moved her from the road to a parking lot. And then, you know, she was talking, calling her family. And as she was talking to her family, the roof on her home came off with her mother and her children in it.
Oh, my
and
God.
And it was, and she heard his telling, get to safety, get to safety. There's a tornado coming, there's a tornado coming. And the one little girl said that she grabbed her baby sister by the arm and was holding on tight because the wind was trying to grab her. As she said, it was trying to grab my sister. And all I could do was hold on tight. But then, course, the roof comes off, electricity goes out, and her sister somehow gets out of her arms. And she is having a heart time finding her. And she said, and I was just starting to cry because I couldn't find her. And this rescuer walked in and he comes and this woman, the mother is running through the streets of this little Mississippi town trying to get home. And she's trying to avoid power lines that are alive and trying to avoid debris and all this stuff to get to her family. She said the parking lot where the car landed was a 5-minute walk from her house. And she said, it seemed like it took me forever to get to my home, to get to my children. And this man, this stranger, came in and asked her, Grandma, can I please help? The baby girl lifted up her arms and he picked her up. And all you see in this video is these little bitty Crocs and her up in this man's arms as he takes her out of the house and leads them out of the house to safety. And he said that the one thing that was so surreal about the whole thing was that in the bedroom, sitting on a table, was a television that was completely intact. Roof gone, walls gone, but this one room with a television on the stand, not touched. TV not moved out of place. And he said it was just the weirdest thing that he had ever seen, was all this devastation and this television and this chair intact. I thought, wow, that's God saying, I can move mountains and I can leave a television right where it stands. But not one person died in her family. And she made it there as her babies were being carried out by what she called a guardian angel. Everybody out there before the house collapsed. And he is took it upon himself to start a fund to rebuild their home. And he's trying to raise $50,000 to build this family a home because they touched his heart. He started to cry because he felt that it was God that led him to this family. It was just a beautiful story. And Jennifer Hudson's show, if you get opportunity, watch it, gave him $5,000, gave the family $5,000 toward their house. He is a rock. Even when we're going through the worst things in life, God can make your worst day your best day. So we're going to get started, Mother. Let us pray. And I turn it over to you, Father God in heaven. Thank you so very much for people of goodwill. People who stand up and do what is right, God. We ask your blessings over the lady and her family that are raising money that were on, and the guardian angel that you sent to help them. Lord God, I pray that they not only raise the $50,000 that they need, but double or triple for all their trouble, Lord God. May everything that was stolen be returned 10,000-fold, God. Let all of her family have their home, God. Let the home be big enough for every family member, those that are living there and those that come to visit, that each one has their own room, God. And we're asking you to bless Jennifer Hudson, who always, every day, comes in with a philanthropic thing that she does to help somebody, a small business, a family, whatever it is you put on her heart. We ask your blessings upon her show, Lord God, that she stays the homegirl from Chicago who just loves people and loves you and loves to sing your song, loves to sing for you. Lord God, I ask your blessings upon her family. Keep them safe from all harm and danger, God. May her brother and her mother be in your loving and her nephew in your loving arms, God. That they may be sleeping with you, God, knowing that their loved one is still going about the Father's business. So, Father God, we lift up this word today, asking you to bless and watch over all shut-ins, all those in the hospital, all those that are homeless, that are sick. Lord God, we're asking you to watch over them as well as all of our children as they get ready to wind down the school year, as they get ready to go home for the summer. Lord, I ask you to keep them safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. For you are the rock, God. You are their strength, God. You are who they lean on, God. You are who I lean on, God. And I lift this word up to you, thanking you for all that you do in the precious and holy name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord God, to please increase as Mother Valerie and I decrease. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are our strength, and you are our redeemer. And it's in your name, and in the name of the precious and matchless Savior, who is Jesus Christ, who took our sins to the cross, and who is our best friend and loves us more than anything. On this day, we give you love, Jesus. And in this day, we ask you to bless the word and the speakers. In your name we pray. Amen. Mother Valerie, all yours this morning as we go in to 2 Samuel chapter 3 and 4. And I tell you, it is, saying with me, y'all, it is a great word this morning. Woo, it's a great word. David is establishing his kingdom. And it's some stuff that's going to make you say, I don't believe he did that. So anyway, Mother, it's all yours. Take us to the throne.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, people of God. God, I just thank and praise you for who you are. I thank and praise you for forgiveness of sin, knowingly and unknowingly. Lord, I thank and praise you as Janice's daughter, Lisa, travels. Bless her as she gets back to Los Angeles safely. It was just wonderful having her here for 7 days. Looked like her mother was just so happy when Lisa is here that Lisa encouraged her to do things, and she do things differently, and it was just a beautiful visit. And we went by Pastor Dawson's house. We crashed, and he told us, come on in. Get anything that you want to eat. So we ate there and took a nice plate to Janice, and she was able to eat everything. It was just a beautiful, beautiful visit with Pastor Dawson's family, Lisa, and they had their sons there from out of town. Mother's Day was just gorgeous, and I'm so happy that Pastor Bridget was able to travel, be with her mother, and make it back to table life, and we saw her on Mother's Day. God, it was just beautiful. And I thank and praise you for all the things that you do for Rita, because Rita saw all of her family except Eddie. And it was just, and she was in a high spirit. This Mother's Day was just beautiful. And we thank and praise you for her sons and for Randy and for Rita and for Janice and all our families. We're thankful for Pastor Jesse and her family, her grandson. We just have a lot today to be thankful for, that we all can come together in unity and be one. I'm reading 2 Samuel 3, 1, 4, and 12. There was a long war between the house of Saul, house of David. David grew stronger, stronger. House of Saul grew weaker, weaker. Son was born to David in Hebron. His first was Ananon, the Jerusalemite, and the second was Kilzad by Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Canaanite. The third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmah, king of Gershon. The fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggai. The fifth, Shephatiah, the son of Abital. And the sixth, Ishream, by David's wife, Ega. They were born to David in Hebron. Now it was also while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David that Abner was strengthening his hold on the house of Saul. You know, we were talking about David. David was anointed to be king. David was anointed to be king when he was a shepherd boy. Anything God say is going to come to pass. And I don't know how long it took before David was king of Israel. I think he became king of Israel when he was 30. I'm not sure. But he was a shepherd boy when he was anointed by Samuel. So whatever God say that's going to happen, no matter how long it takes, it's going to come to pass because it came out of the mouth of Abba, the God of the universe, the great I am, came out of his mouth. And when he states a thing, so be it. It will happen. Sometimes you just have to wait. David waited a long time. And he ran a long time from Saul before he became king of Israel. And Saul had a concubine. His name was Raspah, the daughter of Ai. So Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Why have you gone into my father's concubine?" Then Abner became angry, very angry at the words of Ishbosheth, and said, "Am I a doll's head that belonged to Judah? Today I show loyalty to the house of Saul, your father, to his brothers and to his friends, and have not delivered you into the hand of David. And you charge me today with a fault concerning this woman? May God do so to Abner and more also, if I do not do for David as the Lord has sworn to him, to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul, set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan to Beersheba." And he could not answer Abner another word because he feared him. Then Abner sent messengers on his behalf to David, saying, "Whose is the land? Then also, make your covenant with me, and indeed my hand shall be with you to bring all Israel to you." David said, "Good, I'll make a covenant with you, but one thing I require of you, first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when you come to see my face." So David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, "Give me my wife, Michal, whom I betrothed to myself for 100 foreskins of a Philistine." And Ishbosheth took her from her husband, from Pelah, the son of Lashem. Then her husband went along with her to Bahurim, weeping behind her. So Abner said to him, "Go, return." And he returned. Now Abner had communicated with the elders of Israel, saying, "In time past you were seeking for David to be king over you. Now then do it, for the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people from Israel from the hand of the Philistines and the hand of their enemies." And Abner also spoke in the hearing of Benjamin. Then Abner also went to speak in the hearing of David in Hizra, all that seemed good to Israel and the whole house of Benjamin. So Abner and 20 men with him came to David at Hezron. And David made a feast for Abner and the men who were with him. Then Abner said to David, "I will arise and go and gather all Israel to my lord the king, that they may make a covenant with you, and that you may reign over all that your heart desires." So David sent Abner away and went in peace. At that moment, the servants of David and Joab came from a raid, brought much spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away. He had gone in peace. When Joab and all the troops that were with him had come, they told Joab, saying, "Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king, sent him away, and he's gone in peace." Then Joab came to the king and said, "What have you done? Look, Abner came to you. Why is it that you sent him away, and he is already gone? Surely you realize that Abner, the son of Ner, came to deceive you to know you're going out and you're coming in, to know all that you are doing. And when Joab had gone from David's presence, he sent messengers after Abner, who brought him back from the well of Sarah. But David did not know it. Now when Abner had returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him privately, and there stabbed him in the stomach, so that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. You have to be careful, very, very careful. We spoke on that yesterday, who you make and call friend. I mean, he stabbed him in the stomach. Therefore, when David heard it, he said, my kingdom and I are guiltless before the Lord forever of the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and on all his father's house, and let there never fail to be in the house of Joab one who has a discharge or is a leper, leans on the staff or falls by the sword, or who lacks bread. So Joab and Abishael, his brother, killed Abner because he had killed his brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle. Then David said to Joab and to all the people who were with him, tear your clothes, girt yourself with sackcloth, and moan for Abner. King David followed the coffin, so they buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king sang a lament over Abner and said, should Abner die as a fool dies? Your hands were not bound, nor your feet put in fetters. As a man falls before wicked men, so you fail. Then all the people wept over him again. And when all the people came to persuade David to eat food while it was still day, David took an oath saying, God, do so to me and more also if I taste bread or anything else till the sun goes down. Now all the people took note of it, and it pleased them, since whatever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people in all Israel understood that day that it had not been the king's intent to kill Abner, the son of Ner. And the king said to his servant, do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel? And I am weak today through anointing king. And these men, the son of Zupra, and too harsh for me, the Lord shall repay the evildoer according to his wickedness. I mean, they stabbed old Abner in the stomach. Like I said, you have to be careful who you call friends. I'm reading chapter 4. When Saul's son heard that Abner had died in Hebron, he lost heart, and all Israel was troubled. Now Saul's son had two men who were captains of the troops. The name of one was Baanah, and the name of the other Rechab, the son of Rimmah, the Beeronite, and the children of Benjamin. For Bero also was part of Benjamin, because the Beeronites fled to Gittim and had been sojourners there until this day. Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in the feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, and the nurse took him up and fled. It happened as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame. His name was Mephibosheth. Then the sons of Rimmon and the Benjamites, the Rechab, the Baanah, set off and came at about the heat of the day to the house of Ishbosheth, who was lying on his bed at noon. They came there all the way into the house as though to get wheat. Ooh, and they stabbed him in the stomach. Rechab and Baanah, his brother, escaped. When they came into the house, he was lying on his bed in his bedroom. Then they struck him, killed him, beheaded him, took his head, and were all night escaping through the plain. And they brought the head of Ishbosheth to David at Hebron, and said to the king, here is the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, your enemy who sought your life. And the Lord has avenged my lord the king this day of Saul and his descendants. But David answered Rechab and Baanah his brother, the son of Rimmah the Benjamite, and said to them, as the Lord lives, who have redeemed my life from all my adversaries, when someone told me, saying, look, Saul was dead, thinking to have brought good news, I arrested him, had him executed in Ziklag. The one who thought I would give him a reward for his news, how much more when wicked men have killed a righteous person in his own house on his bed. Therefore, shall I not require his blood at your hand and remove you from the earth? So David commanded his young men, and they executed them, cut off their hands and feet, and hanged them by the pool in Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbosheth and buried it in the tomb of Abner in Hebron. You know, you just have to be very, very careful. Life's lesson, 2 Samuel 4 and 8. And they brought the head of Ishbosheth to David at Hebron. David was not impressed by spiritual words when he saw evil deeds. As a man after God's own heart, he could not delight in wickedness, even if it appeared to benefit him. When they killed that man and struck him in the stomach, Saul's son, they thought they were doing something good for David. We're going to deliver you from your enemies. And David had them cut up, hung, because he called them wicked men. And you didn't do anything that was right. He called them wicked. 2 Samuel 4 and 9. As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from all adversary, the Lord loves to redeem my lives from all adversary. David realized that adversity is a setback from which we take our greatest leaps forward. Isn't that amazing? They thought they were doing something good. You know, hey, I'm going to cut off his head and deliver this to you and all your enemies. But no. You have to be careful thinking that you're doing something good when really David, in turn, killed you, took your life. You died. So you really, really, really have to be careful. Life lesson, 2 Samuel 3 and 1. David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. God had given the kingdom to David, but it took a long time. That's what I was talking about. David was anointed when he was a shepherd boy. It said it took a long time for him to finally bring the nation together under his rule. Yet what God promises, that's what I said, he delivers, even if it takes longer than we had expected. Like David was a boy, and I think he started ruling. I think he started ruling over Israel at the age of 30, from a shepherd boy to a grown man. But if God says something, God states a thing, if God states that this is what's going to happen, even if it takes a long time, oh, it's going to happen. God is not man. God cannot lie. He can't, because he is God, and he cannot lie. God is just beautiful. May God add a blessing to the readers and hearers of his words, and I'm going to turn this back over to the hands of Pastor.
Amen. And, you know, as we were talking in our word for our title this morning, you know, David understood that it was not him that was making him king, himself king. He was king because God anointed him to be such. He did not go after Saul's family because he made a promise to Jonathan that he would not. You know, everything David did, he did for a purpose and a reason. He loved Jonathan, and he was not going to go after his family. And so the only thing he asked for from them was, can you, I have my wife back? Because, you know, that was his first wife. Michelle was his first wife. That was the wife that Saul gave him. That was his connection to Saul. And she blocked her own blessings because she was hateful. You know, and she may have loved that second husband. But what was done not in order. Saul gave her to another man to get back at David. And she should have said, I have a husband. But she knew her father would have probably killed her because she wouldn't go along with what he wanted to do, which was anything to hurt David. And to take his wife, that was to hurt David. To give her to another man was to hurt David. It was the same kind of stuff that happened to Samson. You know, his wife was given to the best man. Come on now. And she went along to get along. And everything she feared happened. Foxes got caught on fire, burned in a house. The house that she wanted so badly that she gave up her husband's business to the Philistines. You know, and in this case, Abner, again, taking matters into his own hands. You know, and yes, it was wrong for Joash to kill him over his brother when he tried his best to keep Joash's brother from following it. He kept telling him, turn around, stop. You know, and he just kept chasing it. He was determined. And Abner killed him in self-defense. You know, and it was also during war. You know, we got to understand that things happen during war that we would never do. Abner understood David was trying to bring the kingdom together, whereas Joash all about himself and what he wanted. And that's where the problem comes into play. So let's keep it moving into our psalm this morning, which is where our title is coming from. And our title just covers the Old Testament words and all of this word. God wants to be our strength. God is our rock. God is our absolute. God is our everything through Jesus Christ, his son. We can come into the presence of God. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. David not only wrote it, but he believed it, and he walked in it. And it says, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him, not from anybody on this earth, but from God. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Mother, we sang that song back when we were, I'm sure, I shall not be moved. Just like
Amen.
A tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved. David was a tree. He was planted in the love of God. And he knew that his rock and his strength were God. His salvation that he did was for the glory of God. And he tells us, in God, not in myself, not in Joash, not in anybody, but in God, my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. And we need to say that ourselves, my refuge is in God. Hallelujah. Trust in him. At all times, you people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Hallelujah. Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. A weight on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. God has spoken once, twice. I've heard this, that power belongs to God. There's a song out there that, you know, says power belongs to God. Power belongs to God. Power belongs to God. You know, we got to give God what is due God. Ooh, power belongs to God. Oh, Lord, belongs mercy. Power and mercy belong to God. For you render to each one according to his work. Each one has to stand before God one day. Each one has to let the Lord know, here I am, God. I pray you have used me. I pray that you will tell me a job well done, that I can enter into the narrow gate. Hallelujah. I want to be in your presence, God. I want to know that I've done what's right to others. And Lord God, I want to do what's right for myself. We got to trust God and lean not to our own understanding in all our ways. We got to acknowledge him and allow him to direct us in the path that we should go. And so as we get ready for a life lesson from our 62nd Psalm, verse 12 says, you render to each one according to his work. Salvation is a gift. Rewards are earned. While every true Christian will make it to heaven, not all will receive rewards for faithful service. Some will suffer loss, yet will be saved, and yet so as through fire. 1 Corinthians 3 and 15. God loves us all, wants what's best for us all. All we got to do is remember who is the source of our strength and the strength of our life. It is God who is the rock of my salvation. It is God who is higher than high. Hallelujah. It's God that takes us where we need to go. Trust in him. Believe in him. And know that he has your best interest always at heart. Proverbs 16, verses 13 through 15. Righteous lips are the delight of kings. Come on now. And they love him who speaks what is right. As messengers of death is the wrath, but a wise man will appease it. In the light of the king's face is light, and his favor is like a cloud of the latter rain. Ooh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. God spoke through Abner to David today. Ooh, get here for a minute. Just soaking in the wonder of God. And being grateful and thankful and knowing that you're blessed because God blessed you with another day. Hallelujah. He blessed you with the latter rain. And as we go into our New Testament word, we are in John chapter 4, verses 31 through 54, if you'd like to read them again later. And it says, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Woo! I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. To finish his work. Jesus said, I came for a purpose. You know, he's not, I came to save y'all. I came to die for y'all. I came to take your sins to the cross. I came for a reason and a purpose. To tell you about, hallelujah, the song Donnie McClurkin sang it on Sunday. And it was like that song that everybody in the building was singing. It was like you could feel the presence of God. I felt a fresh wind blow by me when he started to sing. And all my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. your grace has never failed me in all my days. You know, God has been there for us from the moment that we wake up till we lay our head. All we can do is thank God. Jesus is saying, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives the wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this thing it is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe not because of what you said, but we ourselves have heard him, and we know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after the 2 days, he departed from there and went to Galilee. But Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast. But they also had gone to the feast. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And therefore, oh, Lord, thank you. And he said this, and it's like, wow. The Samaritans believed. They were like part Hebrew. They were a part of the family, but they were a branch that had branched off away from what God said to not get involved with the people, but they did, and they created biracial people, but they kept Jacob's well, and they knew who Jesus was. They knew who he was, and so Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, but he was a Galilean too, where he had made the water wine that was at the wedding, where the wine he made was the best of the party. Come on now. The best of the wedding. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judah into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son. But he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, will you by no means believe? The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word of Jesus to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son is alive. Quite of them, the hour when he got better, and they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the time, the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed, and his whole household. Then again, this is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. And we know the first sign was the changing of the water into wine. Hallelujah. What a word this morning, Mother. And I missed this life lesson from the 62nd Psalm, verse 12. It says, you render to each one according to his work. And Jesus basically doing the same thing. Salvation is a gift. Rewards are earned while every true Christian will make it into heaven. I love this. I read this. I do believe again. Not all will receive rewards for faithful service. And Jesus was listening. He was looking. And he was giving those wonders and signs that people would know who he was. The Samaritans knew this is the right one. This is the one whose name was cried out in the wilderness. What a great God. What a great God. And as we go into our life questions, and it says, what does it mean to wait before the Lord? Perhaps the greatest key to spiritual growth is spending time alone with the Lord. This means taking the time to speak with God about whatever it is on your heart. And even more importantly, allowing him to speak to you. In Psalms, the 62nd Psalm, King David wrote, my soul waits silently for God alone, but my expectation is from him. Perhaps that is why David was known as a man after God's own heart. To win that kind of reputation, David first needed to know the mind and heart of God. He might be able to do what the Lord desired of him. David sought to know God. He frequently inquired of the Lord. He spent time in the Lord's presence, singing to the Lord from the depths of his heart. In 2 Samuel 7 and 8, we read, King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord God, that's in my house, that you have brought me this far? Oh, hallelujah. You know, who am I? What did it mean for David to sit before the Lord? It means that he spent time alone in the presence of the Lord, communicating with the Lord from the deepest part of his soul, asking questions of God and listening quietly for the Lord's answers. Jesus frequently sought apart and have the Father. Jesus prayed all the time. Time with the Father provided him with a source of comfort and strength. Jesus also sought time alone with his disciples so that he might teach them and they might find spiritual refuge. Jesus prayed, and he wanted his disciples to pray with him. You know, when he was in the garden in Gethsemane, waiting for Judas to do what Judas did, he asked him, can you just pray with me for an hour? He needed an hour of their time for them to commune with God, because he knew what was going to happen. He knew they would be scattered. He knew they would be afraid. And he wanted to give them strength. He wanted to give them a piece of the rock. He wanted them to know that it was God. And it tells us in this word, it says, we are wise if we choose to spend time alone with God in a place without distractions or interruptions for a period sufficient for us to relax completely and focus our attention fully upon the Lord and his word. We must be willing to wait in the Lord's presence until we receive God's directive or his words of comfort. Why don't many of us desire to spend time alone with God? The foremost reason is that we don't feel sure of our relationship with God, and therefore we feel afraid of God. However, as David admonished, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. For those who are born again spiritually have a father. True child relationship with the Lord. Our Heavenly Father loves us unconditionally. and deal with us tenderly and patiently, the more we learn what he really is like, the more we see him as Jesus saw him, the more we will long to spend time alone with him, and the more we will know the fullness of his grace. Life lessons from John 4, verse 34. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus lived to do the will of his Father. He wanted nothing more than to hear God's voice and please him by spending on his spirit to exactly where he commanded. Jesus said, I'm going to do whatever my daddy tells me to do. He was obedient to the Father. John 4:42, this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Each of us has to make the faith our own. Our faith must become deeply personal, genuine, and an authentic expression of our heart. We must feel convinced on mind and of the Spirit. We got to know who we belong to. Who do you belong to? You belong to God. Each of us has to make the faith our own. Our faith is personal. That stuff is the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It is personal. Our faith must become deeply personal, genuine, and an authentic expression of our heart. We must feel convinced on minds of the gospel truth. This is an instruction book. It gives us what happened, what was going on, and what can happen. It's the past, it's the present, it's the future. All we have to do is ask God, give me what I need from the rock, God. Give me salvation, God. Give me more of you, God. For I am nothing without you. I am nothing without you. David understood he could do nothing without God. He knew that power belonged to God. All power belongs to God. And we have to understand that. And as our prayer, as we get ready to wrap up with a word from Sister Carolyn, our prayer for this morning is glorified me. I know that I have not yet reached that goal, but there is one thing I always do, forgetting the past and straining toward what is ahead. Philippians 3:13, NTV. God of glory, you are with me in the here and now. As I live with my eyes set on what's to come, let me be submitted to your grace that empowers me to shake off the mistakes of the past. I know that. I know that. Limitations are not permanent. Keep me growing in you as I run the race of this life, looking to the prize at the end. Give me vision for the long haul, that I won't sidetrack by minor problems that will work themselves out as I keep moving forward. Hallelujah. We got to move forward in our word. We got to move forward in our life. We got to move forward toward the high call. We got to move forward toward God. We got to move toward God. Hallelujah. What an awesome and mighty Father we have. Give me wisdom. I need to know when to rest and when to press on. I was like, Lord, this word is all for me. Because I do. I move. And God said, you're going to rest today. Whatever the future may bring, I believe it is better than what I can imagine asking. Giver of life, giver of good gifts. I fix my eyes on you. You are the goal I am running towards. Your goodness, even as it meets me where I am. What has been keeping you from moving forward in faith? That's a question that only you can answer. What is keeping you from moving forward? We got to move forward every day. We can't get caught by the enemy in his snares, because he's always there trying to create confusion. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. If there is anybody that would like to speak, now is the time to push the one on your phone. The word I got for Sister Carolyn came on yesterday, because remember, she's about 5 hour difference. So the word that I'm reading is the word from yesterday, and then she'll give us a word for today. And it says, good morning. God is not surprised by your inabilities, imperfections, or faults. He has always known about you and chose you on purpose for himself. Have a moving on Tuesday. Have a thankful Tuesday. Have a trusting in God Tuesday. For Sister Carolyn is always telling us to trust in God. And our word this morning told us to trust in God. And as she said, always known everything about you and chose you on purpose for himself. Just, and I like to add, just like the woman at the well, she said, I met a man, hallelujah, who told me all about myself. That's Jesus. He will tell us all about ourselves. All we have to do is be quiet and listen. Again, if there's anyone that would like to speak, now is the time to push that one on your phone. And if not, Mother Valerie, we have gone through the word. We have gone through the life lesson. We have gone through the questions. And we thank God again, and we'll thank God continually for Dr. Charles Stanley and this wonderful and amazing Bible that God put in his heart, mind, and in his ministry to make. We can only say we are grateful. So, Mother, I turn it back to you to pray us out this morning as the Lord watches between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, we pray over all of you as we pray over each other. May the Lord watch you and bless you and carry you till we all meet again. Mother, I turn it back over to you to close us out, because it's a wrap.
Father God, in Jesus' name, we just want to thank and praise you. We want to honor you. We want to just get to know you better. We just give you all the praise and the glory. We thank you for this day. So this is a glorious day. Some might not think it, Father, because of the rain, but we need the rain. Rain brings the flowers and the food. So we just thank you for all that you do. Give us understanding, God, so that we can understand the things that are going on around us. And, Lord, we thank you, for the day of the Lord would come suddenly, and we're watching to be caught up to meet him in midair. Dead in Christ will go first, those that will remain. Oh, God, we just thank you, and we're just waiting. We're just waiting, and we have to wait on you, our Lord, our Master, our King, the great I Am, Jehovah. Ah, thank you, Jesus, for all that you do, will do, and have done. And bless Pastor Bridget that she continues to bring the word of life, because it is the word. We have to have the word, or we cannot live. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not your word. And keep her going.
Amen.
Keep her healthy. Keep her blessed. Keep her family blessed. And we just thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a...
Amen, Mother. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Have a
it's a wrap.
Day, stay dry and know that you are covered by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thanking God. And one more time as you go through your day. Whatever you're going through, remember, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Keep trusting him and watch him work in your life. It's a wrap, Mother.
It's a wrap.